are you concerned about protecting that brand new pretty sled that you just got? Here's the solution. Use SledSyn24 for a 15% off discount code on some Backwoods bumpers, the industry leader in performance protection.
I feel like I want to fight Jose right now.
Hey, right here.
Fight. Let's do it.
Headphones up, boys.
On, dude. Headphones on.
I like it.
We should do like a sled send fight night.
Ooh.
That'd be Have fun. Our own YouTube boxing match with sledders.
Yeah, dude.
We could
just
host them.
Just put our helmets on and
start
then.
Pushing for
we could have a smoker in Shay's shop.
Start pushing for a UFC contract.
Got this.
Hey, Dana White, if you're watching. Let us know.
All right.
Cool. Sledson listeners, welcome back to the next episode. We're going to do something kind of like what we've done in the past, but this is going to be a little bit of a different flair to it.
I think I like this idea better.
So we're going to do a Q&A episode. We've got Jose back on with us for this episode. We've got Shay and we've got Jeff. Kobe is on his way back from riding.
What a loser.
Yep. So he's not here. So in the past, I have had posts put out on Instagram asking you followers questions that you guys want us to talk about and answer on the podcast. And so we're going to do something like that. But we had an individual text me a list of questions, and then we were actually riding with this individual in Sealy Lake. His name is Frank. From Carbon Pursuit, one of our sponsors. And he had the idea of doing like a live call-in, and he would ask us those questions, and then the team on the podcast in real time would answer those questions. So we do have special guests again as well. We've got Charlotte and Blake and Addison that are here with us in Shay's shop.
Grab it.
For this episode. But... we definitely want your guys' feedback. Like, if you like this episode, let us know in the comments. Shoot us a DM. Say that you want more of these types of episodes. And if you guys want to essentially be entered to win to come on the show, call in and ask some of your questions, we want you guys to think of those questions. And then the best way to do that is to write out your questions and email myself at sledsend@gmail.com. with your name and then your questions and your phone number. And then, you know, 5, 10, whatever, however many questions that you can think of. And we might pick you guys to bring you on the podcast via phone call. So without further ado, we're going to get into it. Jeff has some other things that he needs to get done today. We actually just finished recording a previous episode, so we're going to get right into this. So we're going to go ahead and call Frank right now.
What if he doesn't answer?
Rank. If this does not work, because we're Bluetooth to the board, and we are sitting in Shay's shop, so I don't know how the service
should start
is
ringing. So right when you make the call,
your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice messaging system.
There he is.
This is like Howard Stern.
When we're done, you can play. Okay.
Hey, buddy, what's happening?
Frank, what up, dog?
How we doing?
Pretty good. You are live on the Sledson podcast right now.
What up, Frank?
Oh, perfect. How we doing, fellas?
Pretty good.
Good. How about you?
Good, good.
Can he hear us from our mics?
Yeah, he can hear us.
Is he just hearing us from your phone or
no.
Our
mic?
Frank.
I can hear everybody pretty clear, I think.
Oh, that's dope, actually. This is pretty sick.
Frank, yeah. Can you hear me right now?
Yep, I can hear you.
Nice. So we've got you, we've actually got you Bluetooth to the podcast board.
Oh, that's fancy.
Yeah. Hold on, we've got the kids with us, so some cords are being pulled and stuff. So.
They'd be running over my headphone cords. No, I can't hear. I'm good now. Okay.
So, yep, listeners and viewers, before I made the phone call, I told you that Frank from Carbon Pursuit, one of our sponsors, is calling in, and we've obviously got him on the phone here. So, Frank, a while ago, you had sent me a text with a variety of questions that you wanted
All right, we got to put those away.
Yeah, I'm going to. She's putting them away right now.
Okay.
Right. Sorry.
The kids are, sorry. The kids are riding the trikes through the shop, Frank.
I love it.
Some background noise.
Lots of background noise.
And then when we were riding with you at Sealy, you were like, hey, we should like call in live and ask the questions. So, Frank, I appreciate you taking the time to jump on. I know you're a super busy guy building out some carbon fiber goodies. But yeah, we're going to give this a shot and see how it goes and maybe make it a thing. So, Frank, I'll pass it over to you. What's one of your questions?
Yeah, definitely. I think this is perfect. So something that I was like kind of pondering on my mind as we rode together this last week too, is, you know, riding with you guys, obviously awesome riders, super comfortable in the backcountry. I mean, you guys definitely, you know, are great with all those, you know, fancy riding techniques, hopovers, bow ties, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, we rode with Kyle Huestis too, you know, and yeah. So there's another guy that, you know, is very comfortable with that kind of, you know, fancy riding. And so like, from me, my perspective, it's like, you know, where does riding content go from here? You know, because it's like we're all on social media and as we're all trying to promote our own, you know, businesses or personal pages, you know, it's kind of gotten to this level where it's like, there's a lot of guys that can ride. I mean, flat out, you know, most guys, you know, at that upper echelon, you know, they're able to do those maneuvers in the backcountry. So it's like, where does content go from here? You know, where does sled content go?
Yeah, that's a really good question. The first thing that pops into my mind is you're seeing the level of importance of content creation skyrocket. Seems like everybody and their mom has a Pelican case attached to the tunnel of their sled. So I definitely think that people are seeing, you know, whether it's personal brands, seeing the importance of content to, you know, get attention from companies for sponsorships, and what have you. Boy, where is it going to go from here? Jeff, I see you spinning gears. What do you think the next... what it's going to look like here?
I mean, sexy always sells, so the flashy stuff's never going to go away.
Yep.
But I think storytelling is what makes other guys stand apart.
Yep.
In my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Muskoka's videos all kind of have, like, a theme or a story to them. Like the Avalanche one.
Yep.
There's, like, a whole story there, right? I think the flashy stuff will only get you so far. And then you have to kind of take that next step and learn how to build out a story, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jump into the long form content. And I think that's where you're going to get, you know, that niche audience that you want. That's, you know, that you'd be able to figure out a way to eventually, you do want to try and do this full time, monetize.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you're going to see a lot of guys monetizing their short form stuff.
Yeah, I
think because there's so much of it, right?
Yeah.
So many people doing it. It's only going to get you so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think that's, you're going to start to see a gap between the individuals that remain with the short form and unwilling
like
to go into the
long. The videos form, that so. DMC makes,
mm-hmm.
those are good because there's, there's just always like a good story there. You know, mm-hmm. It just looks like a good time, right? And that's kind of the story he tells. A video I just watched that I really liked was Ross Robinson's Epicenter video. I think mm-hmm. that's what it was titled. And I thought that was a really good video. I don't know. I think if people want to take it farther, that's the step they need to take, is learn how to make long-form content. Tell a story.
Story behind it. Yep, that's a good point.
So that you can connect to your audience more.
Cool.
A lot of guys don't connect with bow ties.
Yeah.
And things like that, right? Because... I would say, you know, 90% of people that ride sleds aren't probably doing stuff like that all the time, like you see on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But
those are my thoughts.
Shay or Jose, you guys got anything to add?
I think I'll piggyback kind of off what Jeff said. You know, the a lot of guys can't relate to like the bow ties and the hopovers and stuff. I think the content creation, I think people watching it just want someone to relate to.
Mm-hmm.
They want someone, you know, that's going to show the stucks and the dumb mistakes and
the realness. And,
yeah. The
transparency,
the funny stuff. Moments.
Yeah. The funny moments on the mountain, you know, the stuff me and Jeff do.
Exactly.
we're going to be grade A primo for our content creation. Jeff, me and you are.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, I think that's the next step for content creation. Cause it's like, you know, like everybody's saying, that the sexy stuff is going to sell. obviously we want to see the videos of people 180 foot jumps, bow ties, you know, 270.
It'll only get, you know? That content will only get you so far, I guess.
I think you need someone that you can relate to, you know, that's going to be on the GoPro.
Well, even when you do see like a longer format video that's got like a storyline to it and there are guys that are, you know, doing all the cool shit, you're getting those in between moments of when everyone stopped joking around or when someone gets stuck and everyone's giving them a hard time, things like that. That's the stuff people relate to.
That's what I want to see, is like, I want to see
the moments.
Yeah. And you center punch that tree.
Yeah. I want to see what Shay says to Jose when Jose's buried nose deep in a tree well. That's what I
want to
see.
Yeah. I think I got a good one, of you, Frank, of that kitty cat climbing that tree, huh?
Yeah, that kitty cat, that's what they're made for, though. Yeah, you know, that they go right up those. They go right up the tree.
Yeah, good question. You got another one, Frank?
I think that feeds into, I mean, I think it transitions perfectly into kind of like, you know, we're just talking about, you know, how do you take that from short form stuff to long form? And, you know, how do you kind of keep that audience engaged? And it's kind of like, just curious from your guys' perspective, you know, it's like, who, you know, and it's, you know, I mean, it's the age old question. Who in the industry do you guys think of right now that's kind of like bringing that complete package, right? Not only is it just their, you know, riding ability, but maybe it's content creation. Maybe it's the businesses they're generating within the industry, you know, kind of that, like I said, that full package that's kind of like, wow, that person is really, you know, bringing this sled industry a lot right now.
I think Boondock Nation does a pretty good job all across the board for everything. I mean, they can tell they're putting a lot of time, effort, money, into their brand, and you know, they're doing a whole coast to coast thing this year.
Yeah, that's big.
They're in Oregon right now, aren't they?
Yeah, they're at the snowmobile convention thing right now. So they can ride. And they do a pretty good job of showing their mistakes. I think
when you know, sank that sled.
Sank that sled in the water. You know, Jack, he seems to break a lot of stuff. But they don't delete that or hide it or anything, you know, they're pretty transparent about a lot of that stuff.
I liked when they put he sank that sled, and I think he was riding the day after that, they took everything out, put it in the oven, and she was good to go after that. That was pretty cool to see.
I haven't seen that video.
I like I like when they show you little tricks too, like, oh, this happened. This is what we do for that. Right.
Yep. Yeah. What are some other,
I think,
brands, names?
I think, Muskoka goes crazy, right? Because he puts a video out every day, pretty much. And they're, some of them are kind of shorter, but a lot of them are 45, 50 minutes, an hour. Turcotte puts out some pretty long videos, a lot of him running. But he, that's what I was saying on the last episode, was that he's a loose cannon, because he's going to record everything and everything's going in the video. Like, most of the stuff's not going to get cut out. Like, the first video I saw of him this year, he smacked the side of his sled up against the tree, like lost the side panel, pushed his whole exhaust in and everything, and that was in there.
Mm-hmm.
And he left it in there uncut. You saw the whole line progress. And I mean, I chuckled a little bit, but that's the stuff I want to see, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's pretty cool. He leaves all that stuff in there. He smacks the tree, he's going to leave it in there.
And
then he's going to post about his can being smashed. Yeah. Now he can't cook his lunch how he wants to.
Yeah. My favorite part about what Muskoka's done this year is he's added his dad and brother into his videos a lot, which has been cool.
That's a whole,
because a lot of people ride with their families, so
that's blowing up too, the whole Jerry thing right now. Everybody has a Jerry in
his
group.
Photo when he's when it shows him talking. Hilarious.
Anybody else?
I mean, I named a couple in the lot. I mean, I named Muskoka, and
I like Ross Robinson's short edits that he does. He seems to throw together some pretty, pretty cool ones.
Yeah.
They're not, you don't really see like, the full purview of it, right? Like, you don't see the Muskoka of it. But yeah, I do like his edits. I don't know why. They just speak to me.
They're clean.
They're very clean.
He takes his time with them. You can tell.
Yeah. Very clean. The music is typically pretty rad.
Yeah.
Everything.
He's always got good music.
Yeah. Everything about his shorts are pretty dope.
Yeah, nice. What's another one, Frank?
Another roll into another question.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think what I would go next is, like, you know, as we kind of talk about, like, you know, all this you know, the content side of the industry. And, you know, we've all got these social media pages now where, you know, we're trying to promote ourselves. I think what's interesting for me kind of from the business standpoint is growing up in the Midwest, you know, the only riders that ever got sponsored from, you know, whether it was parts companies or, you know, the OEMs was racers, right? Like that's what it came down to. If you were going to get a snowmobile sponsorship, it was coming, you know, as a racer. And what I find interesting now that, you know, with Carbon Pursuit, as I get into this, you know, industry, it's kind of like, there's a lot of guys sponsored on the mountain scene. You know, I think, you know, you can look at majority of your, you know, guys that are posting content and in some way, shape or form, whether it's, you know, a discount on parts or, you know, if it's to the level of, you know, multiple companies, free parts, you know, discounts, that kind of things, you know, offering discounts under their own names. You know, it's kind of like, to me, it's like, where does it go? You know, where is the ceiling on, you know, riders being sponsored? You know, what does that do for companies with the industry where now in order to be able to compete with other companies, you know, it's like, hey, who can snag the most, you know, of the big name riders and things like that. So I'm just curious to get your guys' opinion on that one.
Yeah, I think, I feel like there's some strategies to that in itself that I feel like I kind of see as a, like, other businesses run it too, but it does take off. You know, you allow a lot of people to come in at the beginning. So, like, let's say we'll just take this year, the 23-24 season, as a snippet. Everyone comes into a certain group. The company themselves at that time, you know, I feel like would need to kind of accurately track who's doing what, posting what, the engagement, and what that looks like for the company, like
the return,
how that relationship is growing. And then from there, you know, you take your top 10 or top 20 or whatever it is, right? They come back next year, or you're cool with them coming back next year. And then, you know, the year after that, you know, I mean, I don't know if you have those hard conversations with people and just tell them like, hey, you know, this is kind of what we saw. This is what we were hoping for. We didn't quite meet that. You know, let's either try again with something less, whether that be, you know, not free stuff or not stuff at 50% or 25% or something like that. You know, you chop that down to 10%. And then over time, I think as you let new people in, you're going to see new people come in that grow within the social media platform and help the company themselves grow. And then I think at that point, you kind of just build your roster year over year based off of, you know, the effect of performance. And and obviously some people can taper off, right? Like there's things that happen in life, like say you have a kid or, you know, you're moving or something else, right? And then that opens up a slot for someone else. But
yeah,
what that's kind of how question? I see it.
I know it's kind of a long question, so what's the short question?
Frank, you want to reword your question directly to Jeff?
Yeah, basically, Jeff, you know, I think with the amount of people within the industry that are sponsored right now, like, where does it go? You know, from not only from a business standpoint, but also from, like, a rider standpoint. You know, it's like, you know, like I think Shay's alluding to there, like, you know, from the business standpoint, you know, how to, you know, find your perfect roster, but then also, like, you know, where do we go where, like, you know, people, are they still even buying parts anymore, you know, or do they get to the point where everybody's just getting a deep discount on everything, you know, just kind of picking your guys' brains on that.
Hey, what's up guys? I want to take a quick second to introduce another one of this year's sponsors. We have RSI. So the handlebar setup on your sled is arguably probably one of the most important components on your whole setup. So definitely check out their site. They've got a ton of different products, and use SledSin24 at checkout for a discount.
I feel like it's already like that. I feel like too many companies are giving out too much stuff, in my opinion. I think.
Yep.
What do you guys think?
I'll speak directly to the riders, and this, it's relative in the sense of like you don't know what you don't know, right? And so if a rider is unfamiliar with either having their own business or what it takes to run a business, it's hard to have this conversation with them. It's easy for me to speak on it because I have multiple businesses and I understand that side of things. But I would like to see, more respect from riders to businesses. Because, you know, and I told you this when we were in Sealy, Frank, like, you know, X amount of money or product that you are giving to a rider is literally food off of your table for your family. And so that needs to be looked at as such and respected as such from riders. You know, a lot of riders can be selfish and want X thing. And then, you know, kind of give up on giving a return or some kind of service exchange or whatever. And that bugs me from the fact that, like, I understand the business side of things. And so, like, moving forward, I would prefer to see, and, you know, it's important we're talking about it right now, more respect from riders for understanding, having more gratitude for a company believing in you and giving you X thing, because, you know, that's cutting into their profit margins, which, yeah, it's a business, but at the end of the day, the person behind the business is a human that has kids, has a family, has whatever that they have to provide for. And so if that business is choosing to believe in you and your writing capabilities and, you know, your large following on Instagram or whatever it is, you know, that business wants something out of you. And yeah, a post on Instagram is cool, and, you know, impressions matter, and the amount of eyes and attention that you have on you. But, you know, how can the rider do somewhat like what we do of under promise, over deliver? So if I have a contract with X company and they want five things from us, well, I'm always talking to Jeff on, like, well, what's like the sixth or seventh thing that we could do with what we have that the business isn't requiring from us, but what can we do to over deliver, and express the gratitude for whatever thing the business gave us. To just try to go above and beyond, because yeah, impressions are cool and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, the business needs sales, needs money, needs transactions. And so we try to approach it on pushing that. And obviously the podcast is a great medium for that. But that's my opinion directly to the riders of, you know, cause there's a lot of people that can be sponsored by one company and then another company comes along and has something sexy and they drop the previous company and go over here. You know, and I get it. It's all relative to things change. Maybe the product is better or whatever it is, right? Everybody has their reasonings, but, I think riders need to pay more attention and take more gratitude for opportunities that they are given and not look at it as a small thing. They might think it's a small thing to them, but it's a huge thing to the company.
Yeah.
I feel like we're going to get a lot of shit talk in our comments.
That's okay. Fine.
Bow ties don't pay the bills.
Yeah, that's facts.
I think it goes back and forth for sure.
There's a balancing act.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like that employee-employer relationship, you know?
You know, and the business needs to set the standard too.
Yeah.
You know, so that the rider has a clear expectation of what is expected from them, and set the terms for whatever that service exchange is.
Yeah. I think we see a lot of sponsored riders now. I feel like almost because the social media platform obviously has grown quite a bit, like in the last 3, 4, 5 years, right? Mm-hmm. So everything's changing. We're not watching snowmobile videos anymore, right? Sadly enough, you know, that's what we grew up on. Same with like snow shows. Those kind of seem to be in the decline, and that's where I feel like you saw a lot of companies. And you'd see those big name athletes that were on the videos. Well, now everything is instantaneous, right? It's on the social media. So I do think companies right now are trying to navigate that field and figure out what's best for them. And I think that's why we're seeing such an influx of sponsored riders as well, is because we're still trying to figure that out.
A really good point. Yeah. Really good point.
That's kind of a new thing to this industry.
Yeah. I mean, it's up and down, right? Just the waves.
Yep. And it'll continue to evolve. Right. Jose, you got anything to add to that?
I have one sponsor. It's the guy sitting right next to me, right? But no, it's like you said, it's a business thing. Even when, you know, when I first started talking to you about this deal, you were like, well, I got merch, you know, you give you a discount on merch. And I was like, dude, it's, I'll pay full price because you're supporting a buddy's business, right? You shouldn't expect like, oh yeah, he's got a business, I'm going to get free stuff from him. You know, it's a business, right? You're doing it obviously to make money. Either way, no matter which way you look at it, you're doing it to make money. And as a writer, I think you got to kind of be able to not necessarily sell yourself, but like know what you bring to the table. Yeah. Like, you know, for instance, let's say I'm going to talk to Frank about getting sponsored with Carbon Pursuit. Like, I'm going to be straight up, like my social media sucks, but I can give you some funny shit. as long as Jeff's got the camera rolling,
provide entertainment is what you're saying.
That's to the listeners, that's my role in this group. Yeah. I'm not the guy that's going to go out and do the sexy stuff. I'm the guy that you're going to laugh at when you watch the video. And I'm perfectly A-okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's good. Frank, you got another one?
Yeah, I think.
Or want to speak to that?
Yeah, I was just going to touch on that a little bit more. I think, you know, what's interesting from my perspective is, you know, like still being the new company on the block in this industry is, you know, I appreciate the hell out of the people that, you know, just buy my parts. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's like, hey, here's this nice post or this nice, you know, whether it's even like, hey, they hopped on the camera for 2 seconds and like, hey, I just got your part. And I just want to say like, it looks super good in person. And, you know, I'll be making sure to tag you and stuff like that. Like that to me, like, oh man, that's huge. You know, now I just, you know, got somebody that bought my part. You know, for me, it's an immediate follow back on, you know, their social media platforms. Cause it's like, you know, they're obviously going to promote me and you know, I want to be able to turn and promote them as well. And, you know, that's what I think, you know, Bobby from Fire Ice and Ice kind of said this in one of his podcasts with you guys is like the person that takes it to that next level and maybe like, you know, creates that YouTube install video, like, okay, awesome. Now I didn't have to do that. You know, that saved me, you know, that checkbox for the week of, you know, create an install video and I can just, you know, upload that to, you know, whatever my website, my, you know, my social media pages and it's there for people to see. Yep. And then, you know, even, you know, taking that a little bit farther, you know, where it's like, you know, just, you know, any sort of rider feedback or, you know, a review on our website, you know, I mean, that's something that goes a long ways for a new company, you know, when people go on to Carbon Pursuit and there's no reviews, you know, it's like, then a lot of people are like, well, are these guys even really, you know, are they selling anything? Where it's like, if they go on there and they say, hey, you know, look at, there's actually some reviews on these products and people are liking them, makes people that much more apt to, you know, buy those products. As we all know, you know, buying off Amazon, you know, one of the biggest things is like, well, how many reviews does this product actually have, you know? And so, yeah, I think there's little things like that, that, you know, I think everything you guys kind of said, you know, I fully, you know, like on board with that. And, you know, I just go that next step for those kids that are trying to find that, that sponsorship or try to grow their social media. I mean, like I said, I think it's back to the whole business mindset of it's a grind, right? Like I have to take a chance on that first product and pay full price. But, you know, if you find the right company that you're going to be able to promote, most likely they'll promote you back, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
100%. Good stuff.
Okay. Well, I think let's switch it up.
Go ahead.
Let's switch it up a little bit. Let's go. You guys growing up, which riders come to mind that you kind of like truly like, I mean, we can say idolized or, you know, followed or like the riders that you thought like, oh man, if someday I could be like that, you know, I'm curious.
Smasher.
Yeah, who are those guys?
I'll go first on this one because I'm fairly new to the snowmobile game, so I didn't really grow up doing it. But I like trying to learn how to do stuff on a sled. I definitely watched a lot of Barrant's videos. Dan Adams put out a lot of good how-to videos. And then you get through the basic stuff, and then you start watching the Kisterkis and everything, all the crazy stuff he's doing on a sled. I think a lot of those mainstream guys are the guys that I look at and watch. And then as I get more exposed to the snowmobile industry, little by little, you start to come up on different riders and different guys. But yeah, I think the big ones for sure, like Barrant's videos, Dan Adams' how-to videos.
Yeah.
Caleb's how-to videos on how to do hopovers. I haven't quite figured that one out yet, but, just the mainstream guys, the big guys that are blowing up in the industry right now. I watch and I pay attention to everything that comes out of their mouths. Cause it's usually 9 times out of 10, very, very good information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, so like I wouldn't say I'm ashamed of it, but I didn't grow up my childhood watching snowmobile videos at all. So I really didn't get into that kind of stuff until really around the time that I, prior to starting Sledsend a little bit, like in high school and stuff. But then after Sledsend, I mean, I spend – the majority of my time watching a lot of Dan Adams stuff. Like, I went way, way back on his YouTube. I've watched every single video. I've watched all of Brant's videos. I mean, when I was with you filming that episode before Smasher came, that was my first time watching a Boondocker show.
Oh, really?
Yep. Yeah, I'd never seen.
Fire.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then obviously, you know, off of what Jose said, I mean, then with social media, you know, you start picking up on a lot of other people. I watched a lot of Turcotte's stuff as well. And then all of Kosurke's stuff too.
Yeah, I did. I watched a lot of snowmobile videos from, I think the one that I watched the most, I kind of just had it on repeat and I'd watch it every night before I went to sleep, was Two-Stroke Cold Smoke. I actually have it up there right now. That one and Turnigan Hardcore, that was pretty sick. Both those were dope. But I did love Boondockers. I think 509 came out right when I was younger. So seeing all those guys, honestly, Smasher was one of the people that I watched on Boondockers. Who was it? Man, I don't know. They're just everyone that was in those videos, right, were the ones that I kind of looked up to. Jeff Kyle, he sent some nasty things, like just drops, I feel like were pretty cool. And then seeing like his, I want to say he was one of the first people that had like the over the shoulder type recording. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, those were the things that I feel like I picked up on as a kid, was like, oh, that's, you know, that's cool. Yeah, I'd have to say, yeah, Boondockers, 509, Slednecks, Two-Stroke, Cold Smoke. Most of the athletes in that are the ones that I looked up to and wanted to be like.
My answer is the same as Jose's, honestly. Yeah. Chris Berant is who I watched a lot when I first started riding, which was only a couple years ago. Yeah, that's really all I can speak to on it. Obviously, I follow a lot more people and watch all their stuff now.
No, yeah.
But yeah, as a kid, I grew up riding dirt bikes, so that's a lot of what my exposure was to motorsports.
Yeah.
So nice. So James Stewart was who I guess, idolized.
Yeah,
I'd say.
Nice. Frank, you got another one?
No, let's hear his answer.
Yeah,
I want his answer.
Oh, you answer your question.
Yeah, so... Yeah, no, definitely. So, you know, I'm a Midwest kid. So I grew up, you know, hanging around snowcross tracks and stuff like that. So for me, I think a lot of those early guys for me was the guys on the track. So, you know, it was guys like Blair Morgan, Tucker Hibbert, you know, a lot of those big name, snowcross racers. One guy that does stand out too is Turcotte, just because it's like his upbringing was snowcross. And so I, you know, remember as a kid watching Turcotte go around the track, and then all of a sudden, as you know, I'm getting older, Turcotte's out in the backcountry doing crazy stuff. And I'm like, holy smokes, that's a snowcross racer, you know, out there doing that kind of stuff. And so he's one that sticks out in my mind. And then I'll never forget, when Chris Berant came out with his famous Hot Pocket video, as a kid, yeah, that was a movie to me where it was just like, oh my gosh, this guy is crazy. And he had like a 2006 Articat mod sled. So just a snowcross sled that he took out in the backcountry. And that was another one. I mean, obviously you guys know I'm a big Articat guy. Yeah. And so it was like to see that snowcross out in the backcountry, that, and then he just hucks this massive jump and he just piles her into the trees. And I remember being like, that is so badass. You know, that guy's crazy.
That's funny.
And so, yeah, you know, I mean, it is, I definitely grew up, you know, just loving every part of this industry. And so it is cool, you know, as I get older to, you know, cross paths with some of these guys and things like that. I mean, I think for you guys too, you know, as you talk about Dan Adams and stuff, I mean, I think there's definitely some surreal feelings when you get to shake those people's hands, or, you know, in your guys' case, sit down for a podcast with them. It's a very surreal moment, you know, looking at those people across the table and being like, dang, you know, I definitely watched these guys growing up and now I'm getting to have a chat with them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
It is pretty cool.
So I think my next question is, if you guys got time for a couple more, yeah, is just, you know,
you
with
have
the
time.
Oh, I got time. If there's kids, with the kids running around in the background, I mean, so what's your guys' thoughts? You know, I mean, I know Shay's got, you know, 200 sleds sitting in the shop there and things like that. I mean, are you guys planning to bring your kids up in the industry. I mean, you have thoughts of what that looks like as you juggle not only, you know, your own passion, but, you know, raising kids within the sport, things like that. Curious your thoughts on that one as well.
Yeah. My plan is to get Addison, just on my sleds, taking her out more this season. And then if she enjoys it and she's, wants to invest in it, then, I think I would probably go the route of getting a 600, for her next season. Because I mean, you know, I would love to have the father daughter, you know, go out and ride, connection. And so, but it's on me to, you know, introduce that to her. And, if she's not for it, that's totally fine too. But if she is, then, you know, change whatever I need to change to make it happen to be able to provide that for her is my thoughts.
Yeah. For me, I got to see, so a big part of the people that I ride with, are, the Gardners. So that's my family. That's my aunt and uncle. And I have three cousins, two boys and a girl. I got to watch them grow up, riding. I mean, shoot, a couple of them rode on the front of, my sled, right? When I was a teenager. And I always thought that dynamic, was pretty cool. And now, especially one of my cousins, he's an absolute stud at riding. And that's really my hope, for my family, right? I have a 5-month-old and a almost 4-year-old. So this year, bought the 4-year-old a little, Ski-Doo 200, which is a little big for her. But in all honesty, I got a 200 so she could grow into it and then Maverick could grow into it. And we'd have it in the family for a pretty long time, right? And it'll hold me as well. so I don't have to chase her around. So by the time she's ready to kind of go by herself, the sled's going to be capable of going and cruising up the trail a little bit with us. But after that, you know, fingers crossed, both Charlotte and Maverick love it. And then we just become a snowmobiling family again. My wife, she snowmobiled for a little bit and then kind of gave it up once, she became pregnant and with our first child. But without a doubt, you know, she still did it. Well, shoot, she did it last year, with Charlotte while she was pregnant and did pretty good still. So I don't think she would not want to do it. She might, I don't know. She might go to snow bike. She loves those things.
Yeah.
But, yeah, eventually I think that's the plan, right? Is get a big trailer, do the whole thing, the whole family ordeal, you know, or have a cabin or something like that where we can all just go and hang out and ride from the cabin. But hard to not want to. I know my daughter, she loves it already. She's actually mad when we came back from Montana, like, why didn't you take me, Dad? Like, you went to Montana without me. And so it's like, well, sorry. But yeah, ultimately that's where we're going.
I think this is perfect. Blake literally just climbed up on Charlotte's Ski-Doo and she's sitting on it, holding her hands on the handlebars.
That's my 2-year-old.
That's Jeff's daughter.
Looks like I don't have a choice, I guess.
She's ready. She's telling you what she wants. She's
grabbing the throttle and everything right now.
I mean, I grew up riding dirt bikes with my dad, so some sort of connection like that, obviously. Yeah. Whether it's dirt bikes or sleds or whatever. But yeah, I don't have a choice now.
Yeah.
She does this in my dad's garage all the time.
Oh, that's why. Okay. So that's not her first time getting on a sled.
Well, that's that what she can get on easier. Herself.
Yeah.
She can't get on the other ones, but yeah. My dad always sets her on his sled and whatnot. So
what about you, Frank?
Yeah, I'm definitely, I mean, I'm hoping. I got two boys. I got a 2.5-year-old and a 2-month-old, so I'm in the same boat. I mean, I got the kitty cat right away and very similar. I mean, my oldest boy, he's definitely was too young for the kitty cat when we got it, but you know, it's the whole run alongside and run the throttle and let him steer a little bit. And you know, I definitely hope that the boys grow up loving it as much as I do. My wife Leah is a big snowmobiler as well. I mean, her whole family is. So, I mean, I think from the, you know, like Jay said, the big snowmobile trailer and all that stuff. I mean, I hope that's what it grows into. And I think that's a big part of, you know, Carbon Pursuit, like we talked about when I was on the podcast at Heydays, is, you know, I mean, I hope that this is a business that provides an opportunity for the boys if they want to, you know, grow within the industry, that there's there's an avenue there and there's connections and things like that. You know, hopefully if their dad can, you know, forge the path a little bit for them, that it's a little bit easier to, you know, continue to grow things. I think if you look at a lot of the businesses within this industry right now, you know, that first generation does grow them and provide kind of a path for, you know, the second generation to take over if they want it. So, I mean, that's my goal or my hope. But yeah, I think time will tell. If nothing else, hopefully they like to ride and get out on the weekends and things like that. I mean, if they take up mountain riding, that'd be even better. Then, you know, pack the family up and it, you know, then I got more justification to buy more sleds and things like that.
There
so, you know, you got to scheme a little bit on that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, I hope so, you know, and I think that's, you know, super cool. As I think about, you know, our Montana trip that we just got back from, you know, it's like, man, a couple of years down the road, that could be a look a little bit different too. I mean, we might have to rein Toby in a little bit and we might just have to be trail riders with the family.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Jose, well, maybe he'll have a kid by then.
Maybe. We'll see. I don't know. Jose, what about you?
I like I said, I'm fairly new to this industry, but I got two little girls at home. I got a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old now. And from the way things are looking, I think my 1-year-old's going to be the wild child. So she's going to be the one that's going to be wanting to go ride a lot more than my 3-year-old. The 3-year-old, she likes it now. When we got our little snowstorm here a couple of weeks ago, I took her around the block, mm-hmm. and we were ripping around the block and stuff. And she put her helmet on and her goggles and everything and her boots and her pants and bibs and jacket and stuff and came out. And she was like, I want to get on a snowmobile. And I had it up on the deck.
Yeah.
And she was like, take it down. I want to get on it. And she was like, I pulled the ramp out. She's like climbing up the ramp trying to get up to the sled.
let me at it.
Yeah, hey, relax. Let me get it off.
Your 45-degree ramp.
Dude, that ramp, that ramp, that's got to go. That deck's got to go in general.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I definitely – like I said, I started to get her gear. She's got boots and, you know, the outerwear and a mm-hmm. helmet and goggles and stuff. And I think she's definitely anxious to ride. It's kind of hard making the time because, you know, we want to get out on the pow and we want to go rip on our own, you know. But I think it's definitely important to make the time to take the kids and the wife and everybody up for a family day at least once or twice or something, you know, get them out mm-hmm. on the snow so that they get that exposure. And when they do get to the age where they're ready to ride on their own on a 600, then
yeah,
about it.
Yeah,
get
absolutely.
After it.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good question, Frank. You got another one?
Okay. I think I got one more. I'm looking through my list here and okay. I think I got, I got a couple more. We'll pick a couple here maybe. Okay. So I think my next one is, so I'm coming back from riding with you boys and I got to admit, you know, I'm feeling like an old man, you know, I'm pretty sore and all this stuff. And I'm just wondering, Jeff, what is the workout program looking like? Cause I might have to switch this program up a little bit cause it's not cutting it. I'm thinking, man, I got to get on whatever Jeff's on.
Pull out your phone, Jeff.
For the people that are watching this, he's wearing a hoodie right now or that aren't watching it. I guess. He's wearing a hoodie right now. If that dude takes that thing off, he's a freaking tank.
Okay, he's pretty shredded.
We do have a group chat on Instagram, and we were checking in when we were at the gym and stuff. And I usually send back some silverback gorilla emojis every time Jeff comes out. Dude is built.
No, it's just all about consistency. I mean, it's weight training. That's primarily what I do. I do a little bit of cardio, but I go to the gym like 6 days a week and I'm hitting all my body parts, or my muscle groups, I should say. And then Saturday's my extra
good clarification there.
Saturday's my extra day. I go in there and just hit arms for fun. But no, it's primarily diet. So
yeah,
most people aren't eating enough protein.
You're super disciplined with that.
I can send you a workout program if you want. If I read you my program, we'd be here for 20 minutes.
I tried to convince him to give us a little, give us examples, you know, do his workouts in front of us for the pod, but he didn't want to. So.
But proper form.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about consistency, right? Just getting in there 4 or 5 days a week at least and hitting all your muscle groups and just staying disciplined. Maybe throwing in.
So for an old guy, old guy like me, Jeff, you would say that, you know, I should be, you know, getting in there, hitting some endurance training, trying to, you know, get those upper body muscles stronger because, man, I don't know, my bow ties didn't look as clean as Kobe's this week.
It definitely could help, right?
You keep saying old guy, but I'm pretty sure Shay, Jeff, and myself are older than you.
Yeah. How old are you, Frank?
I'm 29.
Oh, yeah, I got you.
You're 29?
You're definitely
younger. Yeah, now you guys are making me look really bad.
We're older than you, so I guess we're the old guys. Kobe's 23, so.
Kobe's a full 10 years. Yep. He's got a good 10 years on us.
But, yeah, just get in there, hit some weights. I had this conversation with my dad.
I think that's the key.
I mean, it feels good, too.
Yeah. Honestly. It bleeds into everything else.
Do you go to the gym at all?
Yeah, I am definitely I try to juggle everything in life. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't have a lot of time to hit the gym, but I have a home. I call it a home gym.
Yeah.
So I spend most of my time in there. I definitely tend to trend a little bit more towards the cardio side of things, just because it's easier to leave my house and go for a run compared to, you know, packing up my gym bag and going to the gym. So I think from a time standpoint, I find myself doing more cardio than I do weightlifting.
Yeah.
And that is something, you know, like, it's just such a crazy thing to me, you know. I mean, I've been sledding my whole life, you know, and it's like every year I roll into the season thinking like, okay, I'm in better shape than I was last year. And then it's like, I quickly get humbled and I realize that there's just a difference in muscles that you use on those sleds and a difference in muscle endurance. And it's like, it's interesting for me because I continue to kind of like tweak and change what my program kind of looks like, I think, year over year. And I definitely haven't found the perfect combination yet. So I might have to have you send over some of those key workouts just so I can make it a little bit of a smoother transition.
Yeah. The I'm telling you, the key is weight training. A lot of people do think, oh, I get in shape by doing a bunch of cardio, which there's nothing wrong with doing cardio. But if you know, what ends up happening is you end up burning muscle as well when you're just doing a shit ton of cardio. So you're going to lose strength that way.
Yep.
Depending, and it also depends on, like, there's a lot of variables, diet and things like that, but yeah, the weight training is the key. Add that in and do cardio like twice a week. That's what I would do. Hit the Stairmaster.
Sounds like we need to start up some sort of sled send workout videos that we can just feed through the YouTube channel.
We might have to.
Jeff can be like one of those Peloton instructors.
Yeah. Up in front of the class with a headband on.
Shorts with his white socks.
A little wrestling. Yep. A little wrestling. What do they call those?
Singlet.
The singlet. Yeah, up in the singlet. Getting up there directing an online class.
I can see it. He's drinking his iced coffee. Yep.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I love it. Next question, fellas, before I run out of time with you guys. So looking at, you know, we all put some good miles on the snow this week. And, we talk a lot about how these OEM sleds have come so far from where they were, you know, 5, 10, 15 years ago. We're truly out of the box. I mean, these sleds are very impressive. And, you know, a factory sled is basically as good as you can get it. And so I'm curious, you know, I mean, I think we've seen, you know, the progression of, you know, factory turbos, factory cut tunnels, you know, it just continues to evolve, right? And it's like, to me, it's like, where does that next OEM breakthrough come? You know, I mean, any ideas, any shots in the dark of what that next OEM big push is?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Tyler with SledSend. Wanted to take a second of your guys' time and ask for your guys' support for what we're doing with the brand of SledSend. So if you guys are enjoying, you know, the podcast episodes with all the different guests, the tour videos and such, check out SledSend.com. We have a variety of different merch. Every order comes with air fresheners and stickers. And like I said, we appreciate your guys' support. We need it to continue to do this. And without further ado, let's get into the video.
I think
it's always a hard question.
That one is always hard.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, you take like 2-3 years ago, you know, or even the last year of the Axis, you know, you're like, oh, this is just so good. How could they ever top this? Like, you can't. And then they come out with the Matrix. And so, you know, we're kind of in the same situation right now. Like, these 24s, Matrix, Turbo, like Chaos, all this kind of stuff. You're like, it just doesn't get any better than this. And then bam, you know. And so what is that next thing? Like, I mean, obviously the avenue of lightweight is going to continue to be pushed. The avenue of more power. You know, I find it curious that a lot of these guys, Brandt, Adams, you know, these 900 big bore boosts, you know, so is that a 9R boost? Is that in the works in the future?
Oh, yeah. Or like, it's gotta be.
But, you know, as far as like a huge, crazy change versus like just keep pushing forward a little bit. I have no idea what that would look like. Like a complete new drastic, like, oh my God, why didn't we think of this before type thing. I don't know what that would be.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, I mean, just the last few years, you just kind of look at the sleds, they've been coming out of the box with the stuff that, like you said, the Brandt and Dan Adams, the stuff that they're doing to their sleds, right? Like the lightweight stuff, they're down to the nuts and bolts, taking all the factory stuff titanium, out, putting titanium stuff in that's lightweight. You know, guys got 9R's with turbos on them now, you know, 9R boost. And I think that's just going to be the stuff that's going to start coming out of the factory. I think like helium hoods, eventually we're going to get to the point where you have a helium hood with an oxbow light already mounted to it, or a light already done with it, so that you don't have to go buy the helium hood.
I think that a huge drastic change is that Carbon Pursuit's just going to be so big that they're going to sell the Polaris, and then you're going to have a full carbon fiber snowmobile tunnel and everything.
carbon fiber hood.
Make sure you tag Polaris in this. Let them know. Say, hey, just down the road from you guys, you know, there's this little company, Carbon Pursuit, hanging out. You know, they could probably come up and, you know, maybe find a corner office that they could work out of up there at the old factory.
Hell yeah.
Get your carbon rails on right away. And I don't know if anything like huge yet, but I feel like we'll see some little modifications here and there, right? Like changing titanium into certain spots, or, you know, tweaking clutches or tweaking motors a little bit. But yeah, as far as anything else goes, it's hard to speculate.
Sounds like the answer is refining power to weight ratio.
Yeah, and you know, kind really of all they draw can. That line with durability as well.
I think for Jeff, it would be creating a snowmobile that can't get stuck.
I have gotten stuck once this year. I haven't gotten stuck. Introducing the new snowmobile that is impossible to get stuck.
I didn't say the one that I'm thinking of. You weren't very stuck. I think it was just I don't think you're that stuck that much.
It was a technical thing for me.
I think so.
That's what it was. It was a technical stuck.
I think Jeff's snowmobile kind of looks like one of them hovercrafts then. It just kind of keeps him out of the snow. He just kind of hovers over right the snow.
It. Yeah. Carve it anytime you want.
Well, Bobby from Fire and Ice said he thinks they should make him smaller.
Yep.
I mean, that's...
Like skinny? Like narrow him?
Just shorter.
Probably all around.
Shorter. Probably all
shorter
around.
And more narrow.
Yeah.
That'd be wild.
That would be pretty wild.
That's probably something. I don't know.
Well, because then he
blows. I feel like I see a lot of people riding 600s this year, which is kind of interesting.
The Catalyst, that's the only.
Turcotte was riding a 600 in one of his videos I saw. And some deep snow, too.
Yeah.
I just watched that video.
I think that was more for content, though. That was like
a
600.
Show what a 600 is capable of.
Yeah.
When you're Brett Turcotte.
Mm. Yeah.
when you're 5'5", and just kidding. I don't know how tall Brett Turcotte is, but. I think he's shorter.
Yeah, I think so too.
Hmm. Frank, you got one last question? We'll wrap up.
Let me see here. Can we get one more out of here? Okay. Yep, I got one more good one. So, how often do you guys like realistically upgrade your gear? You know, so that's I think one for like, you know, any of the riders out there. Obviously, you know, new gear comes out every year, new color waves, that kind of thing. Are you guys upgrading quite frequently, or are you guys truly running stuff to the point of wearing out? I know for me personally, before you guys get into it, like I wear out boots quick. I don't know what it is, but like, I feel like at the end of the season, I've shredded a pair of boots. I've tried different brands, haven't found the perfect, you know, combination of, you know, durability to, that lightweightness or whatever it is in boots. But I'm curious, you know, are you guys new mono suits, new goggles? I mean, where is that? What does that look like for you guys?
For me, it depends. It depends on color and design of my sled.
So it's dependent on how often you buy a new sled.
Yeah. So, I mean, typically, like, I'm going to start getting in rotation of a new sled every year. And so, careful. Like, for me, so, like, for me this
year. That might get you in trouble.
You know, both of my sleds, black and white with the olive green logos, I ordered the new olive green ripsaw from Climb.
How's that going?
Not so good. I'm not going to get it until February now, which isn't Climb's fault. It's a manufacturing thing. But I have my black suit from last year, and it fits. You know, black is going to fit with no matter what. Mm-hmm. Like, I could keep my black suit and have a red sled, you know. But for me personally, like, I like nice stuff. And I, you know, have the ability to resell my old suit pretty easily. So I like rotating new stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't, I could probably agree with you on the boots for sure. I've been lucky enough. I think we found, some boots on sale and we bought two pairs. So I've had them for, been running the same style boots for like the last 4 years. But they typically lasted, I probably should have changed them at about a year and a half, but I just couldn't justify spending the money. But I'd say every couple of years I'll get new stuff, but it's kind of to the point now where, you know, some gloves wear out, sooner. So, you know, you're changing those out 1 year and then the next year I'm changing out mono suit and boots. And then the next year, you know, my helmet's packed out. It's probably taken a couple hits. I need to get a new one. And get a new one. So it seems like every year I'm kind of picking up something new. This year in particular, as I say that, I think I picked up everything new except some gloves and goggles. Oh, no, I did pick up new gloves this year. Maybe goggles are like the only thing that I didn't get new this year. And an Abbey bag. Like all my Avalanche gear is the same. But yeah, it's typically every couple of years.
Yeah, I think I rotate an Avi bag every year and then a transceiver like every two.
Yeah.
Every 2 years, two seasons.
I don't think I get out on the snow as much as you guys do. But I'm pretty good about being off my sled doing stuff. So I typically go through gloves pretty good. I typically go through my gloves pretty good. So I do get a pair or two of gloves every year. My boots, I've been wearing those for 3 years. 3 years now, and they've been pretty good to me, and they're still pretty good. I had a mono suit that I was rocking the first couple years, and that's got some rips in it because of off sled activities. But last year I picked up some bibs and a jacket that I still wear. But I don't rotate my stuff all that much. Goggles and helmets all the same. Boots are pretty much the same. I'm pretty content with the stuff that I have. If I was to pick something up, and I've been looking the last couple of weeks at Climb mono suit, because I put my old mono suit on after not wearing it last year and most of this year. And I was like, man, mono suit's kind of nice compared to the bibs and the jacket for sure. So yeah. I have been looking at a mono suit, but that is a conversation with the old lady.
The old financial advisor.
My financial advisor.
Yeah. Jeff, you got all new stuff this year, except for an Abbey bag.
Dude, I've had by accident, I've had a new mono suit every single year I've rode,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, you have.
The first time I went riding, I was wearing snow pants and a Patagucci jacket.
Yeah,
Patagucci.
That blue one. Blue one.
Yep. Bet you that thing was hot.
I still have it.
Black ripsaw. And then you gave that to your dad and went to the high-vis ripsaw.
Yeah.
And then now you've got the new black walk saw.
Yeah, that thing's sweet.
And new boots and...
I'd say every every 3 years.
Every other season.
2 or 3 years, something
you got
like that.
You got the new lock saw with the beacon pocket?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just like mine.
Oh, that's sick. I was looking at that.
Last weekend was the first time I wore it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's
sick. I think, like you said, I kind of look like a dweeb because I'm on a gray and blue sled with like a teal jacket and black bibs.
That's
like
okay.
I don't match it all either. And stuff. But like typically I do like to... I'm kind of like you. Like, I like the black and white neutral colors, you know?
It's easier that way.
It's a lot easier, you know?
Well, you saw me when we rode at Tollgate. I was wearing my high-vis suit on the purple and teal sled.
Yep.
Looking like a goofball.
Fruit Loop.
You should have worn that Sunday of our Abbey course because we would have been able to see you probably.
Yeah.
Couldn't see anything that day.
That's true.
Hmm. Well, cool. Anything else to add to gear stuff? No? Cool.
No.
Frank, good questions, dude. I appreciate you phoning in and taking the time to be a part of this episode again.
Of course. Yeah, no, I was happy to join. And I think, you know, from my end, for all the listeners out there, I mean, I got to say, fellas, I was pretty dang impressed with those couple days on the snow together. I mean, you guys are the real deal. So not only do you guys have a killer content, you know, behind the podcast and what you guys put out, but you back it up. You're great guys on the snow, and I really appreciate the time we got to spend together out there in Montana.
Likewise, dude. I appreciate it a ton. We will put your Instagram and a link to your website in the description below, so listeners and viewers definitely check that out. Cool. Frank, I appreciate you tuning in. We'll talk to you soon, dude.
Sounds good. See you, fellas.
See you, Frank. You're the man.
Yep.
Later.
All right, cool. So listeners, thank you guys for tuning in on this Q&A live call-in with Frank. If you guys enjoyed this episode and want to see more of this, definitely let us know. Because like I said in the previous episode, we are out of Heyday's episode. So everything moving forward is fresh. We're about to go to the Sled Send Ride and do some episodes with guests and whatnot. So we'll have some of those coming out as well. But if you guys enjoy, you know, just the boys in the shop talking and doing this Q&A stuff, please let us know. We want your guys' feedback.
I feel like we do one a month at least. Q&A. I like that.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
It was good. But, you know, we're not doing this podcast for ourselves. We don't sit here and watch it. So we need your guys' feedback of what you guys like to listen to, don't like to listen to, whatever. So definitely let us know. And like I said at the beginning of this episode, if you guys want to partake and do exactly what Frank just did, send me an email to sledsend@gmail.com with your questions, your name, your phone number, and all that kind of stuff. And we might get you guys on to do what Frank just did on an episode with us. So, yeah, any parting words from the boys before we jump off?
It was a good episode. Appreciate Frank and everything he does for us. Yeah. He's got quality products, quality person. Like him.
He's a stud.
Yeah.
He's a lot of fun to ride with.
Absolutely.
Go buy Frank's shit. Go
buy Frank. Yeah, I've never met Frank. That's the first time I've talked to him, but I look forward to meeting him.
Yeah, he's cool.
Seems like he's a stud. Dude.
So, all right, cool. Well, Sledson listeners, we will wrap up this episode. Appreciate you guys tuning in. And as always, we'll catch you on the next one.